Jesus and the Apostles, what text did they quote from? By Ray Walker, appeared in the New Bible Student in September 1996. There are two quite strongly held views on the question of what text Jesus and the Apostles used for the Old Testament references. There are some who assume that the common version of the Old Testament among Gentile Christians was the Septuagint. Now, both Jesus and the Apostles quoted from this, and this view is supported by pointing to some of the quotations which appear to be more like the Septuagint version we have today than they are to the Masoretic or Hebrew texts. Some go so far as to say that Jesus himself may have spoken in Greek. On the other hand, there are those who see the Masoretic text, often called the Hebrew, as the definitive version of the Old Testament. And these explain the likeness of certain quotations to the Septuagint version by saying that at some stage the Septuagint version was altered by Christians to bring it in line with the quotations in the New Testament. I do not know of any actual evidence for this, but it is certainly a theory put forward by some scholars. This theory does not, however, explain why many quotations in the New Testament differ from the Masoretic rendering. And some who hold this second view suggest that the Spirit directed those who quoted some of the Old Testament passages to alter them in order to teach some lesson. Which of these two views is right? Do either of them explain all the facts involved? In seeking an answer to these questions, we turn to the history of the Old Testament texts. We know that when Moses wrote down the law revealed to him by the angel on Mount Sinai, the original was put in the Ark of the Covenant. We also know that copies had to be made from it. There is, for example, an explicit instruction in the law for the king to write his own copy. And we know that the tradition of keeping a copy in the temple was continued for something like 1,000 years. For a copy was found in the days of Josiah. Naturally, these copies would be written in Hebrew. In time, the spoken Hebrew tongue would change a little, but there seems to be no doubt that right up to the time of Jesus, Jews were able to read and understand the Hebrew of the Old Testament. Scriptures were read regularly from the synagogues every Sabbath day. When Jesus read from a Hebrew scroll in the synagogue of Nazareth, he spoke as if all who were listening could understand what he had just read. There's no need for him to interpret it. And whether or not the Hebrew tongue spoken of in the New Testament means Hebrew or Aramaic, when Jesus spoke to Paul on the road to Damascus in Hebrew, would he not use pure Hebrew? Over the years, temple scrolls would become old and had to be recopied, but there was a very careful tradition of copying to the extent that any copy which had but one error was destroyed. And from this standard temple copy of the Old Testament, synagogue scrolls were made and no doubt carefully checked. Some 300 years before Christ, the whole of the Old Testament as we have it, plus other books not now recognized as canonical, were translated into Greek by a group of Jewish scholars in Alexandria. The version of the Old Testament known as the Septuagint. Scholars are in dispute as to the accuracy of the Septuagint as we have it today, but still it represents a family of textual tradition originating at a time before the destruction of the temple in AD 70. The tradition of copying of the Hebrew texts continued unbroken through the Babylonian captivity when the first temple was destroyed, and in Jesus' day that tradition had existed at least from the days when Solomon first built the temple and probably from the days of Moses. However, in AD 70, that copying tradition came abruptly to an end. There are records which suggest that the temple copy of the law formed part of the spoils displayed by the Romans in their triumphal march in the days of Titus. Nevertheless, there must have been many synagogue scrolls carefully salvaged or hidden or kept by groups of Jews who had fled from the disaster of the sack of Jerusalem. But the temple tradition of keeping one perfect copy from which others could be checked and copied had ceased to exist. Various copies went in widely different directions. Small errors would be made in copying from these, and then those errors would be copied in turn. And in 800 years of history, Old Testament texts began to show wide differences. And this concerned a group of Jewish scholars studying Galilee in or around the year AD 800. And they decided to collect together as many different texts as they could and compare them, and then again produce a definitive copy. And they went about their task with great reverence and care and produced what we know as the Masoretic text, which became accepted first by Jews and later by scholars generally as pretty accurate. However, it is well to remember that the Masoretes were not inspired. Neither, of course, were the scholars who produced the Greek Septuagint. Only the originals could claim inspiration, and we, like the Masoretes of old, have to make the best judgment we can as to the accuracy of the copied texts. Large sections of the Old Testament were, however, copied from the texts existing before AD 70 by writers who were inspired, the writers of the books of the New Testament. The apostles in their preaching needed to prove to their hearers that the Christian gospel was indeed from God and in the same tradition as the writings of the inspired prophets and recorders of Old Testament times. And they used quotations from the Old Testament to support their teaching, and inspired writers recorded what they said. Thus, sections of text from the Old Testament were included in many of these writings. Similarly, apostles themselves quoted the Old Testament when writing letters to enlighten their readers as to the true meaning of Old Testament passages. And when these writings were collected together to form the New Testament, they in turn were copied by later Christian writers. And this copying tradition may at times have been somewhat variable, but it was continuous. There was no dramatic break, as there had been in the Jewish copying tradition when the temple was destroyed in AD 70. And because Christianity was a worldwide phenomenon, copies of all the documents which form our New Testament were sent to many different quarters of the earth, so that a large number of different families of texts arose. And these could be compared and contrasted with each other, so that we can be reasonably sure that what we have today is more or less what the apostles wrote. When, therefore, the New Testament authors quote from the Old Testament, what they wrote has a textual tradition different from both the later Masoretic text and the earlier Septuagint, and, it seems to me, a more reliable tradition than either. The New Testament is, of course, in the Greek language and the Old Testament in Hebrew, so the quotations made from Hebrew have been translated into Greek. We cannot tell just from reading these quotations whether they were taken from a Hebrew text by the writer and translated into Greek, or whether the writer was using an extant Greek version. But these inspired writers, because they wrote before AD 70, would have had access to the good copies existing in the synagogues of the land, which had been copied from or checked according to the definitive copy in the temple in their day. the questions nevertheless arise, which copies did they quote from? And did they use Hebrew or Greek texts? And why? Let me now show my hand. I do not hold either of the viewpoints set out in the first section of this article. I do not think that the inspired writers of the New Testament quoted from the Septuagint, nor do I believe that the version used in the time of Jesus and the apostles was the Hebrew of our Masoretic version, at times altered by the Spirit. I believe that the text used by the New Testament writers was more accurate than both, and was in fact the old Hebrew version current in the land when they wrote, and which derived from the long copying tradition. I hold therefore that the quotations from the Old Testament, preserved as they are in the reliable text of the New Testament, are more accurate than either the Masoretic text or the Septuagint, and that in all cases of quotation of the Old Testament in the New, the version of a quotation used by New Testament writers should be regarded as original and definitive. Let me take an example. Look at the account in Luke 4 of Jesus reading Isaiah 61, first two verses, in the synagogue at Nazareth. Note that he was reading the scroll of Isaiah given to him. That is the synagogue scroll, written in Hebrew. What he read, therefore, must have been taken from the ancient copying tradition of the Jews. We would expect it to be accurate. It can hardly be said in this instance either that Jesus, through the Spirit, altered the quotation, or that he was reading a Greek version. However, while he would have read the Hebrew, Luke has given it to us in Greek, and conceivably could have quoted from the Septuagint. However, the quotation does not appear to follow the Septuagint exactly. It seems to me that what we have in Jesus' reading of Isaiah is an example of the early Jewish textual tradition, though translated by Luke into Greek. Even in our English translations, it's quite easy to follow the text and compare the Old Testament of Isaiah with Jesus' reading as set out in Greek in Luke. And when we do this, we will notice that the passage, the recovering of sight to the blind, is missing from the words of our Old Testament in Isaiah 61, and also from the authorized version and translated into English from the Masoretic version. When we look at the Septuagint version, we find that the passage, "to set at liberty them that are bruised," is missing. So the Septuagint has missed out some of the words, but they're different words to the ones missed in the Masoretic text. Now, what do we conclude from this? Firstly, it is obvious that the synagogue scroll in Nazareth was more complete than either of the other two versions. It was thus a better text, more likely to be closer to the original words of Isaiah himself, if not identical to this. Secondly, although the Septuagint version includes a passage missing in the Masoretic text, which is also in the synagogue text, it's hardly a matter of later Christians adding it to conform to Jesus' reading. If the Christians had interfered with it, would they not have also added the bit about the opening of the prison? No. Seems to me that in this instance we must accept that the text Jesus read from was better than either the Septuagint or the Masoretic version, and in one part was nearer the Septuagint, in another the Masoretic. If this is so, may not the same apply to other instances of quotation of the Old in the New Testament? We have to allow for translation, sometimes through two languages, and for the fact that the writers did not have the same rules of quotation as ourselves, often quoting parts of one scripture and following with another, and had no system of quotation marks to show when they were quoting or using their own words. But all of the writers in their day would have had access to good Hebrew texts, and it would surely be these that they learnt and cherish, and certainly when preaching to Jews would make use of the Hebrew they knew. It is of course possible that when speaking or writing to the Gentiles they might make use of the Greek version, the Septuagint of their day, which is reputed to have been corrupted since the days of early Christianity, so it's difficult to check whether this is so or not. But my own belief is that they would be far more likely to use the old Hebrew version of their day, that version with a long copying tradition behind it, and make their own, spirit-aided, that is, a translation into Greek from this. If I'm correct in my belief, it means that in all cases, the quotations from the Old Testament in the New should be regarded as superior to both the Septuagint and the Masoretic versions.